Good morning.
Good morning.
Obviously, I'm not Pastor Lee. He's much better looking. And being Pastor Lee, he made sure that he had some words to say. So let me just read a message that he had me plan to say. This is an announcement on the upcoming sermon series, Vacation or Hell. We all look for summer vacation, so we plan, save money, and get in the car. Sometimes it goes well, even better than we plan. So we feel renewed with wonderful memories. Other times, due to things happened on the way, in the car or in the vacation place, we get hurt with painful memories. As we enter the summer season, we look into the topic, vacation or hell, how may we have a renewing summer? What if by using God's given tools, we have renewed and eventually grown during the summer? What if you take with you the 9 wonderful fruits of the spirits of the Galatians, 5:22-23? That will be the upcoming sermon for this summer. Now that we've had a word from our sponsor. Happy Father's Day! But you notice I looked up and said Happy Father's Day. Because the Lord is our Father. And we remember that. So Happy Father's Day. And Happy Father's Day to all of us out there. I'll say more about that in a second. But first, an opening prayer. Dear Lord, send the Holy Spirit down to us. May those who are with us hear my words, but not my words, but your words. And may they hear them not through their ears, but in their hearts themselves. And may I speak your message as best as I possibly can. In my son's name, Jesus, amen. So obviously the message today is Father's Day. And I called it the Bible, A Father's Guide to Good Parenting. First of all, and this is very important, let us define fathers and then say, on the 19th of June at Sudley, we all know of mothers, single parents, that have to assume the role of father in family life and child rearing. In other words, double duty. And likewise, fathers, and they all have to be mothers in their family. And of course, let's not forget there are grandparents that are raising children, or there are aunts and uncles that also have assumed the responsibility of child rearing. So a father in this case at Sudley in our church is anyone who's caring for and actively participating in the raising of a child, and on this day we honor that person. Okay, are we clear on this? We're all fathers. Early times. The book of Samuel opens not in the halls of power, but in the house of a man who is remembered only here. Elkanah, who is married to 2 women. One of his wives, Hannah, his favorite, is barren. Hannah begs God for a child, and during her prayer encounters the priest, Eli, who's less than comforting, accusing the praying woman of being drunk. Despite this encounter, Eli tells Hannah that her prayer will be answered. Hannah has a long-awaited child, and does as she promised, and gives the child to the Lord. So the boy, Samuel, remains with Eli at a holy place in Shiloh. The family structure may appear to be strange or even immoral to us, but it was common for that time. And Hannah's promise to God may appear rash, but the dedication of her son to the Lord is akin to the sacrament of baptism or the dedication of an infant. As the biblical passage goes, the boy Samuel is bedded down in next to the temple with the Ark of the Covenant, while Eli sleeps in another room. The boy hears a voice calling, 3 times arises and goes to Eli and asks what he wants. We know that it is God who is calling the boy, but Samuel does not. Even Eli does not understand what is happening right away. Eventually, however, Eli tells the boy to return to bed and speak to the Lord, a typical fatherly advice. Go back to bed. Modern times. A father had a 3-year-old daughter who was having trouble sleeping through the night. She often wake up in several times a night because she was afraid. Each time, as he retucked her in the bed, he would remind her that Jesus was with her and he would keep her safe. Several nights in a row, she did this over and over again. Finally, one night, the dad asked if she had prayed to Jesus to take her fear away and help her fall asleep. And she responded, "Oh, yes," she assured him. "I prayed to Jesus, and he told me, come and get you." In my research for this sermon, I read another story about a little girl who was frightened by a fierce thunderstorm. She cried out in fear, and her father rushed to her bedside as he held her in her arms and explained that she didn't need to be feared. God would take care of her because he loved her greatly. And she said, "I know God will take care of me and love me," she replied. "But right now, Daddy, I want somebody with skin on." Each of these kids were afraid, and each of them sought comfort from their fathers. In our lives, there are many times when we are afraid. We are afraid because we're in trouble. We're afraid because we're being threatened. We're afraid because we're about to lose something that we care about. And sometimes we become afraid because we know we've done something wrong, and we're pretty sure we're going to be punished for it. It's a time like this when we most need a father figure to step into our lives and help us, protect us. From Samuel 12, verse 16, we find that the people of Israel had become afraid. They sinned against God. They sinned because, without asking for God's permission or approval, they decided to reject Samuel as their leader, and they demanded a king, just like all the other nations had. They had rejected Samuel as their leader, but even more, they rejected God. But Samuel rebukes the people, and at Samuel's request, God sends a powerful storm filled with thunder and lightning and rain. The people heard Samuel's words. They saw God's power to punish him, and they begged Samuel to pray for him. 1 Samuel 12:19 tells us, "The people all said to Samuel, 'Pray to the Lord, your God, for your servants, so that we will not die, for we have added to all our sins of evil and asking for the king.'" And in the midst of their fear, Samuel reassures them that he will pray for them. And not only does he vow to pray for them, but he does several things that day that a father would do for his children. Actually, Samuel has been acting as a father to Israel. One of the basic responsibilities of being a loving father to be a disciplinarian. In Hebrews 12, verse 9, tells us, "We have had human fathers who disciplined us and respected them for it." Earlier times, Samuel was a judge for Israel. He set the standards for God's people, and sometimes his judgments concerned things that people didn't want to hear. For example, when Samuel went to Bethlehem to anoint David, the next king of Israel, Samuel 16:4 says, "When he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, 'Do you come in peace?' Just like a child that's done something wrong, just before dad comes home, the elders of Bethlehem were afraid that Samuel knew something they had done wrong and come to punish him." Now, modern times, my mother would say to me, "Just wait till your father gets home." Anybody ever hear that? "Just wait till your father gets home. Are you going to get it?" And as kids, we trembled. Of course, my younger sister never got it. She always placed the blame on me, and I always knew there's nothing I could say after that point. Good loving fathers are set the standard of right and wrong in their homes, and they're willing to be bad guys if they need to be, because a father is the future of their children, and they can independently make their decisions, not just for life, but also for eternity. A study was done about 10 years ago. It found that those conservative Christian parents, whose parenting style could be described as authoritarian, raised some of the most well-adjusted kids. A researcher named Wilcox examined the data from the National Survey of Families and Households and discovered that homes of conservative religious parents were characterized by both discipline and an unusually warm and expressive style of parent-child interaction. He found that the most conservative religious parents were authoritarian, which also describes as having a consistent and firm discipline, as well as a high level of warmth and parental responsibilities. In other words, the fathers in these homes set a firm pattern for what was and what was not acceptable, and they were more involved in their children's lives. This is the kind of father Samuel was. He was a firm, authoritarian father figure that Israel needed. He was willing to look at the children of God in the eye and tell them exactly what they needed to hear. Modern times. Several years back, a study was done with school children. A group of educators decided to remove the chain link fences that were around the school playgrounds. They believed the fences promoted feelings of confinement and restraint. However, the curious thing that they noticed, that as soon as the fences were removed, the children huddled in the center of the playground to play. The conclusion, children need boundaries for fences. Earlier times, a good father makes sure his kids know where the fences are. And that's what Samuel did. In fact, his last recorded words to Israel were these: "Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he's done for you. Yet, if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away." 1 Samuel 2, 24-25. Samuel was saying, know where the fences are. A good parent needs to be a disciplinarian. He needs to be firm and consistent. He needs to draw the lines in the sand and be willing to punish children for crossing the lines. But now there's a danger in that too. For parents, dads, fathers, mothers, to practice the approach in being a firm disciplinarian, it's possible to forget to love them and to love their children all the way through. Fathers have become harsh and even insulting in how they treat their kids. This is not acceptable. Ephesians 6:4 warns, "Father, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and institution of the Lord." In Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." So on one hand, be a disciplinarian and authoritarian. On the other hand, be a loving parent and forgive the children and love the children. It's a balance. It's not an easy balance, but it's a balance. Samuel was telling Israel, God loves you. He doesn't want you to reject him. In fact, you bring him pleasure. That's the kind of love a good parent, father, mother, reflects to their children. They say to their children, I love you. I do not want to lose you or reject you. In fact, you bring me pleasure. But being a good father goes beyond that, what we say. It strikes in the very heart of what we do. If you don't walk the walk, your kids won't listen when you try to talk the talk. A good father is a spiritual leader in his household. Proverbs 4:1-2 declares, "Listen, my son, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching." The Bible presumes fathers will instruct their kids. They will teach their children. While they are seated at the dining room table, while they are walking down the road, when they put them to bed, and when they get up in the morning. God expects us to pray for our kids and our kids, grandkids, nephews, and nieces. He expects us to teach them the way that is good and right. Our kids will know when we pray, and they'll know when we are walking with God. But there's something even more significant than can happen when we take our spiritual role as a parent seriously. Our relationship with God now has an effect on our children, even long after we die. One person referred to this kind of an umbrella effect. As I've often said, the greatest gift my father gave me was to take me by the hand as a two-year-old and bring me to church. It's an umbrella effect. If you live your life for Jesus and your children, receive spiritual blessings that will last long after you die. My father is long gone, and here I am in front of you as proof of his love and caring and giving me my Christian faith. I'm preaching the word of the Lord to you, and I'm preaching from my heart. Hopefully one day my children, one of my children, will follow suit. God places a heavy emphasis on the importance of fathers in Scripture, because He is one. Everybody know the sentence? Our Father who art in heaven, calling to mind that the Lord is our Father. And us earthly fathers reflect upon this. One of the authors I researched for the sermon said when his young son identified him with God, he had watched his dad and mother pray before they ate each meal. But he had never been asked to say grace. One day, when the father was out of town on a business trip, his wife spontaneously turned to their son and asked them if he would like to pray. The invitation startled the young boy, but he folded his little hands, he bowed his head and said reverently, "I love you, Daddy. Amen." Be the father the Lord expects you to be. Everyone, happy Father's Day. Amen.